Good morning. It's 8:38 Finger Lakes News Radio, and joining us on the phone today, we've got sort of a crude conference call thing going that we're going to cross our fingers and hope works. We have first Don Hassig from Cancer Action New York. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Ted.
Okay, good. We've got you. And on the other line, we have Dr. David Carpenter. Doctor, are you there?
I'm here.
Good. All right. Don, let's start with you. We've had you on the program many times, and we have talked about this effort to draft a comprehensive cancer plan for the state of New York. So for people who haven't heard our previous conversations, tell us a little bit about this plan, what the idea of it is, and then what you think is wrong with it.
It goes right all the way to the top of the government. This came from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the National Cancer Control Program. It is here in New York State. It came here in New York State in 2003. In 2003, the first New York State Comprehensive Cancer Control Plan, the draft version, said pollution doesn't cause cancer. The people knew that was not true. We challenged the makers of the plan upon that. They produced a final plan that said goal number two, reduce environmental exposure by 2010. Here we are, 2011. The first draft of the 2011-2016 cancer plan doesn't say a word about pollution in it. So, you know what I mean.
So now, in the recent correspondence I got from you, you said that there is an environmental cancer section of this plan being put together. You're saying that it's just glossing over environmental causes and sort of trying to hit and run and move on to other things?
Well, who knows what their behavior will be as they begin to discover that the people are becoming more organized on this. This is very wonderful. In having Dr. Carpenter and I did a news conference down in Albany, and I think then we did another one in which Dr. Carpenter was the only participant. And that was the one that was really good, because then we really got the attention of the New York State Department of Health, and that was when they invited Dr. Carpenter to become more involved in the creation of the cancer plan. So he's made comments. Now a bunch of other groups have seen his wonderful, shining example, and they have made comments. A bunch of groups of the New York State Breast Cancer Network have made comments. This MIRAS movement that's all about brain cancer and stopping this horrible disease, they have made comments. So you see what I'm talking? All these comments coming rolling into the New York State Department of Health and the Cancer Consortium, they wouldn't dare, the first time around on this, they did do exactly what you said. Produce a plan and make it look good, but do nothing. This time I'm thinking they're going to produce a plan because we forced them to do it again, and they wouldn't dare not do nothing this time, because, see, we're gradually creating a beautiful, war on them.
All right, Dr. David Carpenter is also with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background in medicine and when you became interested in potential environmental causes of cancer.
Well, I'm a physician, former dean of the School of Public Health here in Albany. And presently, I'm on the faculty in the School of Public Health, and I'm the director of the Institute for Health and the Environment, which is an institute that transcends just the School of Public Health and has recently been designated as a collaborating center in environmental health by the World Health Organization. So I'm interested in environmental causes of human disease, and that certainly includes cancer. Some of my research is focused on cancer. I deal with research on a variety of other diseases as well, particularly chronic diseases like diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, those kinds of things.
What kind of evidence have you seen over the years that there are increased incidences of cancer because of directly traceable environmental elements?
Well, I think we know a lot about chemicals and other exposures that cause cancer. The National Toxicology Program, the World Health Organization, they list a whole series of chemicals that are listed as known human carcinogens, and then there's an even larger list of probable human carcinogens. And so these are chemicals for which the evidence is overwhelming that they are carcinogenic. Now, one of our concerns, and this is not just with the state's cancer plan, but it's also a concern with regard to the Centers for Disease Control and the National Cancer Institute, we feel that they are ignoring some of the evidence, or at least not emphasizing the evidence, that it's these chemical carcinogens that are so important in causing cancer. They talk about diet and lifestyle, and we agree that diet is the primary way in which we're all exposed to these chemicals. It's not the only way,
right?
Because we can breathe them in as well. But if we're going to only talk about diet and lifestyle, it implies that, you know, eat your vegetables and that's going to prevent cancer. Whereas I think both Don and I feel that there needs to be much more direct attention to chemical carcinogens. We need to find ways of getting them out of our food, getting them out of our drinking water, getting out of the air, and recognize that cancer is primarily a disease caused by chemical carcinogens. There's a minor component that's genetic, but most cancer is not genetic.
When did you become acquainted with Don and with Cancer Action New York?
Well, I think we've become acquainted over the last 3 or 4 years. I think Don approached me because of my role here in the Institute for Health and the Environment, and the fact that I do so much work with chemicals and human disease.
I've talked about this before with Don. Is it? Do you think the reason that these environmental causes are being glossed over is just largely money that is donated to politicians to get them in office from the people that make these compounds?
No, I don't think it's any great conspiracy. I think this is really a matter of within the health communities. Often the cancer control programs are in a totally different division than the environmental health control programs, and these people don't talk to each other as much as they should. I certainly think that there is some influence of industry, and you know, we have in the U.S. some very powerful industries that don't want their products identified as being carcinogenic. But I think the real problem is not anything quite as great as that. It's really a matter of the health people getting their act together and speaking with a common voice on issues of what causes cancer.
Don, back to you for a second, because we've talked about this a few times. Not only Dr. Carpenter's voice, but others are beginning to be raised as well, saying, hey, wait a minute, if we're going to have a plan, let's include everything in it, and let's include these environmental causes. Who are some of the other people that are starting to come forward and join this effort?
You know, the cool thing is, prior to the effort to get comments made on the actual draft plan, because before we had the draft plan, because we've been working on this for months and months now, you know, we had this sign-on letter, and it's amazing. You know, we have so many groups in the sign-on. David Carpenter was the first signatory. You know, this person you have right here, David O. Carpenter, MD, he was the first signatory on our sign-on letter. And when people saw that, people from all over were signing on. We have this, I'm just trying to totally blank, sorry about this. This Mr. Gilbert, Stephen Gilbert, he's a PhD from out in Washington State. He's the board of directors of Washington Toxics Coalition. We have Barbara Warren, who is the director of the Citizens Environmental Coalition down in Albany. Margaret Roberts, who is one of the major players with the Capital Region Action Against Breast Cancer. Ellen Connett, who is the co-founder of Fluoride Action Network. And we're finding fluoride is a cancer, is a carcinogen with respect to bone cancer in young males. We have, I think at the last count, is like 20-some groups. You know, it's huge. Oh, Dr. Alan Silverstone from the Upstate University Hospital in Syracuse. He's been on the US EPA's Science Advisory Board Dioxin Review Panel since back in the 1980s, and he knows this whole story. He said it's all about the corporations controlling EPA to the extent that the science is not used. So here you go. Usually the story is that it takes 20 years for science to become public knowledge. Well, in the case of poison and cancer, it's taking far more than 20 years. It's already taken twice as long, and it still hasn't happened because of all the obstacles that are placed in the path of this knowledge by the corporations and the government, the U.S. government.
It seems to me, though, that the more of these people that comment and the more of these comments that make it into this plan, it's going to make it that much more difficult to just dismiss away these comments, because if nothing else, they're at least going to be there as part of the public record when that report's put together.
Exactly. We will persevere, and we will win. We cannot lose for two reasons. It's imperative for the public health that we do not lose. The cancer doesn't continue to rise as it is rising at this moment as we are speaking. In the draft cancer plan, the one really powerful thing it had in there, right at the start, cancer incidence has risen by 7% in New York State during the course of the 2000s. This is outrageous when there's so much known about how to reduce cancer incidence by using scientific knowledge to do this new paradigm. POPs, exposure minimization, metals exposure minimization. Truly it should be pollutant carcinogen exposure minimization, not reduction. Minimization. There's a huge difference in that.
Let me just jump in real quickly for people that haven't followed our conversation. POPs, persistent organic pollutants, is that right? Did I get the term right?
Yep.
Okay. And in the last couple of minutes we have here, whichever of you want to address this, I know there's been an issue with the PCBs on a Mohawk Indian reservation in the North Country of New York. Tell us about that.
Who's going to do it?
Well, let me identify that because I've worked with the Mohawks for the last 20 years.
Dr. Carpenter's going to talk about that. Go ahead.
Perfect.
Go ahead, Dr. Carpenter.
Well, there are three aluminum foundries along the St. Lawrence that use PCBs as hydraulic fluids that contaminated the rivers, got into the fish, and there are a whole series of diseases that have resulted from those exposures. The ones that we've identified and studied are reductions in IQ in both children and adults, reduction in learning ability, although not out of the normal range, but still the higher the PCBs, the lower the memory function. We've identified increases in thyroid disease, in diabetes, in heart disease. So these are very dangerous chemicals, and the reality is that the Mohawks at Akwesasne are not excessively exposed. They have slightly higher levels than the general population, but the results we have from there are applicable to the general population. And the point is that these chemicals cause a whole variety of different diseases, including a lot of the chronic diseases of older age that people have not appreciated as being due to environmental exposures. That includes cancer, but it's not just cancer.
All right, we have just about a minute or so left, so Don, I want to turn to you. People who want to get involved and make comments and know more about this process to come up with this cancer plan, what can they do?
They can send their comments to the New York State Cancer Consortium, and the comments should go, the email address is, so it's just the acronym for the New York State New York Comprehensive Cancer Control Plan. So I'm quite sure it is nyccp@cancer.org, because there you go, cancer.org, American Cancer Society, is the cancer consortium. And see, this is the whole problem. This is the whole problem, because the American Cancer Society is all about not doing the science on pollution, because they are the corporations. You also want to send it to dohweb@health.state.ny.us, because see, that gets it to a little bit better entity, the New York State Department of Health. dohweb@health.state.ny.us. And if they can't keep track of that, just web search David O. Carpenter, MD, or web search Donald L. Hasig, Cancer Action NY, and we will be quickly at your aid.
All right, canceractionny.org on the web. Don, thanks as always. We appreciate it.
Cool.
And Dr. David O. Carpenter, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time this morning as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. 8:52 now, Finger Lakes News Radio. We'll keep following this because I'm a big believer in this.